as it did when Jesus was here, when he taught the people. Some people liked this truth and went along with it, and some just didn't want it. Some went along for a while, and then, like he gave the parable, when the sun began to beat on the grain as it after it had come up, and that means after people are saved, make a profession, and then the cares of life, you know, crowded out some. The sun dried it up because it didn't have deepness of earth and the different conditions, and that just repeats over and over through the annals of time.
That's true.
And I believe that this probably will just go right on till Jesus comes. But I believe you and I can, if we live that long till he comes, we can live where we can be ready to meet him. Ready to say like the Apostle Paul, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm glad this morning that I'm saved and trusting the Lord, and glad to be here. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being here many times in the different meetings over the years, and I just love everybody and want to be able to help everyone I can. And I know that if we can just get the Lord to undertake for our helplessness and over our efforts, that the Lord can do that for us. Yesterday afternoon, as we viewed the burial spots of the different ones that we had learned to love and appreciate through the years, we thought of the times when God's helped us out through many battles here together. Thought about dear brother and sister Gilbert that were so precious, so solid. And one brother told us that we waited on Brother Gilbert in his last sickness. How patient he was right to the end. Said he never saw anything but just true patience and such calm repose. Sister Gilbert was such a precious woman. And you know, we think of those losses while we have to stay on, don't we? Thought about how the Lord has puts that in his saints. You know, that isn't just human qualities. That's what God bestows upon us. And we trust that he'll help us this morning. We don't move because we just feel physically, but I've learned that when we do what the Lord wants us to do, he'll help us in our bodies as well as our souls. And now, I can't help but feel for the saints. I believe the Lord's put that feeling in my heart. We don't know when this meeting closes and we go on. We don't know that we'll ever get back here to visit, see you again. But dear ones, we hope that if we don't, that we'll all be faithful and true to the Lord. That we'll live in a way that the Lord can be with us and stand by us. The Apostle Paul was getting down to the end of his journey in these last epistles, and he was doing all he could to help the saints, to get a hold of something for themselves. Dear ones, the ministers are not able, even though they preach their hearts out to you, they're not able to get over to you unless God gets it to you. This word of truth must be implanted by the Spirit of God. And we must be able to grasp the depths and the heights of the manifold grace of God in our souls. Turn with us to Colossians, the second chapter, and starting with the 18th verse, the apostle had been dealing with some points before this that had bothered some people, and they had stumbled around over it, had a hard time adjusting to it because it was a changeover from the law to grace, and the law held a rigid standard on things that the gospel changed some of those things. And people that was under the law and trained and raised up, thank you. Raised up under that system, it took a lot of forbearance and teaching to get them to change over. And now there were some that still, their teachers, leaders, that just still were tenacious for the law and for the things that would, you might say that the gospel would cross. But now here in the 18th verse it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in involuntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head." Now that's where we must all come to in our lives. If we succeed in the things of God, we must hold Christ as the head and follow him as our head. You know, the trouble today in the religious world is people want to be the head and lead it in ways that just God just can't go along with. But now he says, not holding the head, from which all the body, that's the spiritual body, as we've heard different ministers preach precious message along the line of the body of Christ and how we're members of each other, as he goes on here to tell us, which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. The desire of my heart is to be able to emphasize the need. Every one of us needs to increase. If we don't increase, we decrease. People that has means in the world, if they have a certain amount and never increase that number, it just begins to diminish. The bank account, when people have big bank accounts, if they don't add to it now and then, the spending off of that account will just take it down. The first thing they know, their account is run out. Maybe they give a check after it's all been drawn. Well, you know, we have to watch our account with the Lord, don't we? We have to see that our supply is kept, you might say, deposited. That we add to our life, to our Christian virtues and graces, and that we draw strength from the Lord day by day. It's true a person can run maybe a short time on grace, maybe they get it an individual time, but sooner or later that's going to be depleted. You're going to feel, now I've got to get some place and some time with the Lord. Busy all the time will rob us of that place where we can draw strength from the Lord. I find that it just takes laying aside things every now and then to spend time with God. And he tells us here now, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands. This sister made a statement about you have to get it from God. Well, that's true. We have to get a certain amount of it from God. But the saints that are in touch with God, many times the Lord has to get it to us through them. He just won't work independent of his people, will he? He works through the instrumentality that we offer him when it's in touch with God. And yes. Well, that's all right. It's good to, he tells us to prove all things. But in that proving, we have to realize my brother and my sister can help me and teach me, and you can teach us. And this way isn't just one teacher. The Holy Ghost is the great teacher, isn't it? And he's the one that can just show us everything as we go along. You know, I don't want us to be like a little boy I heard about that went to school. And he had only been to school a day or two, and he did not want to go back. He just told his mama, I don't need to go to school. She said, why, sonny, you gotta go to get an education. He said, why, mama, I already know more than the teacher does. You know, that child wouldn't be able to get much by going to school unless he changed that kind of outlook, would he? We have to be taught daily. And I find it just don't matter how long you're in the way. I can listen to my brother preach it, and hardly a message, but what I can see, something that I can grow if I'll just take it, that I can benefit, that I can just lay up in store. Many of you have never met old Brother Youngblood. He was a real old pioneer minister, one of the rugged kind, like Brother Baldwin, a whole lot like Brother Baldwin, in just the old line. I heard him say many times that he'd something would come up, somebody would preach something, or maybe in a song he'd see something. And he said, I had a memory that was remarkable, and he did. He could just get up and tell us long lines of poetry that he said I learned when I was maybe 4, 5, or 6 years old. And he just to go down the line, one verse after another, all by heart. Sing a lot of songs all the way through by memory. But he said, you know, when I'd hear something real good, he said, I'd lay it up in my treasure chest, in my memory chest. And he could just keep that there, and he didn't stumble around maybe in quoting like we do sometimes. You know, he just had such a memory that he could just quote that Bible from Genesis to Revelation when he wanted to. Well, you know, that's wonderful, but we don't have that. So we have to depend on the Lord to help us to lay these things up in our memory chest, don't we? And if we'll just keep our minds and our affections on things above and be putting away all the good things. I have to ask the Lord to help me that when I need some of these things that I hear in a meeting like this, that He'll bring them to my mind. And you know, I've had Him do it time after time. When I just feel like I needed something and I wouldn't know what it was, I'd feel just a burden for some need and go to the Lord in prayer, then I'd be reminded of maybe a message, a part of a message that somebody preached, or somebody in their testimony mentioned something that I just really was impressed with. And that would just come flashing clear and definite to my mind. Well, you know, I like that. That helps us to build ourselves up, as he says, in the most holy faith. This is a holy way, dear ones. The whole thing is built and established on holiness. And let's all just work close together. Do you know one of the tricks of the devil today is to get people separated in their cooperation with each other. If somebody that is a little mixed up and the saints try to help them, the enemy's right there to make them think they don't want me. Now that's not so when the Lord is blessing a soul and helping them in any way. All the saints unite as one to help that individual. But the thing where there is a little interest is in somebody that's covering up things, that just won't come clean and come right to the Bible line. And no, they're not. You know, Jesus was pretty hard on them hypocrite Pharisees and Sadducees, wasn't he? When he knew that they were not doing right and then trying to cover it up, you know, he still don't have any use for that. If people don't get out of that, there just isn't help for them. They'll go right on and stand before God in judgment and not receive the help they stand in need of. But now listen, it says, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, every saint, from the least to the eldest, all are a part of some joint or some band or some member in one way or another, and everyone supplies some of that spiritual body. If part of it gets afflicted or down or spiritually lax or spiritually diseased or afflicted in one way or another, you know that pulls the body. That tells on the whole spiritual structure. Let's everyone just pray God that when this meeting's over and we go our ways, let's pray God to help us so we can be that spiritual working member in the church of God. Do all we can for each other. Stand behind each other. You know, in a battle, a physical battle in the armies of the nation today, you know, if they wouldn't stand together, it would go to pieces. I know I've had different relatives that have been in the First World War and then the Second and on, and even in this last one, and they tell how that when they're in that most trying battle, that it's just remarkable to see how some of those unsaved men and boys will just die rather than to desert their comrades. You know that ought to be in us saints, oughtn't it? Above them. We ought to die before we would desert a brother or sister that's struggling under a battle, that's being oppressed and being tried to the limit. We ought to die in our tracks before we would desert them. You know, Paul had some sad things in his experience. He said at one time when he stood before Nero, that cruel, merciless leader and ruler, and he just took delight in persecuting and putting the saints to death. But because of that terrible persecution, there was a time when no man stood with him. You know, that hurt Paul. He felt, oh, if my brethren could have just stood with me and backed my testimony and boldly defended the cause that's dear to me than my own life, it would have had a greater influence. But you know, when people desert the cause, that's always hurtful. That does something to the general movement that we represent today. Saints, let's not desert in the battle. If it gets hot, pray God to help me to know how to just stay right in this battle till the last fray is over and we go together. You know, we're not going to heaven separate. We're going together as a unified body. Everyone that's saved is going to have to go hand in hand and heart in heart together, standing against every evil thing. You know, God's calling for a cleaner of work than ever before, I believe in my very soul. And he's just sifting out this. You know, the Word tells us about a time when it would be a real sifting time. He tells us that two parts would be cut off. That means of the spiritual body. Two parts would be cut off and just go their way and live right on. Was that what he said? No, he said two parts would be cut off and die. But the third part, that's the part we represent today. That third part is going to have to go through the fire. And saints, let's go through the fire together. I have it settled in my heart by the grace of God that I'm going to be with you if there's any possible way that you can let me go with you, I want to go right along with you until the last breath I breathe. If, when I get where, if I live where that I can't preach to you, if you'll just let me tell you a little now and then of the dealings of the Lord. You know, we need each other, dear ones. I need the same. I can't get along without you. I need your prayers. When I had both of the nervous breakdowns, but especially the first one, and we just felt like we had to get alone and quiet, and we didn't tell anyone but just the few there in Guthrie where we was going, and give them our mailing address to get our mail to us. And people began to call and got our address, and they just wrote us from all over the country. And young people would write us letters that was the most encouraging, just how they was behind us with their prayers and some with their means and all that, telling us they were counting on us getting back again in service and back on the fields, and just such encouraging letters. And I got a letter from a young college lad. I don't remember of ever seeing him, but he had heard about it. And he wrote us the nicest letter. Well, you know, I just love to get those encouraging letters and to know the saints are back of you, and the saints are praying, and the saints are interested. Just time after time, we'd get a letter, and maybe we'd just battle the old devil, just battle him maybe about all night, and get up in the morning, feel dragged out, and feel so bad in body that many times we just have to rest on the way to the post office, just about 3 blocks from where we was camped, or about that, just so weak and worn and so afflicted. But you know, we'd get there and get some good mail, and as we'd open it and read it, it just bless our souls. And you know, while we was there in that little town, they sent a general delivery, and sometimes when we'd go to get it, it just about cleaned that general delivery box out. And the woman in the post office said, "Why, you're getting all the mail about here." Well, I told her, well, we'd traveled around quite a bit and knew people all around. Well, she said, "It's strange that you're getting all the mail," or something, you know, just remark about it. But, you know, it wasn't strange to me. I knew what the family of God are. I knew that when you're in trouble, they're in trouble. When you're in the jaws of affliction, all the saints are right in there with you. I don't believe there's a one excluded to you. I believe, just like the Word says, that when one member suffers, they all suffer. They feel the need of it. They feel the weight. They get under that burden. You know, we got where that it was, we just could not hardly sing a song. Maybe the wife would pick up the songbook and start singing it, and I'd try, and I could just sing a few words till all my strength would run out. You know, that's something now, when you can't hardly sing, and I'd try to ride a little, and just seem like I couldn't stand to ride. And all these things, and then to think that the Lord can just heal you and make you feel pretty well, pretty fit, if things don't get too heavy. But you know, I find that I just have to have divine help when the burdens get too heavy. But I'm glad that I can feel that need, and that the Lord is right there to supply us. If we didn't have that feeling of our need, you know, it might be easy for people to depend more on themselves. But I just had to depend on the Lord for anything I do for Him. I've told them that without the Lord's help, I couldn't even make a good announcement. And to read anything, you know, that needs to be read in public without the Lord helping me, it just seemed like I get in a state of nervousness without the Lord's help. But you know, I'm glad He always helps us. And He's one that can be with us to the end. Now notice over here in Ephesians, Paul again telling us here how he wants us to increase in the things of the Lord. You know, if I should come back in a year or two or so, I hope that everyone here will have made a real good increase. And just manifest the growth and the advance in the things of the Lord. You know, you can go places and tell people's growing. You can tell when they're getting stronger and when they're moving out for the Lord in whatever line it is. Not just think I gotta preach it. You know, a lot of times I've been blessed more in private work. Just seem like to go when you can sit down alone and talk the problems, their problems out. And then just take the Bible and go through the scriptures. You know, I just love that work with the old folks there in the senior citizens' home. We just take a scripture and read a few verses and then just start digging into them. And just seeing all that we could get out of those scriptures. And it's really been enlightening to my soul. And others have said, why, this is wonderful what you can get out of the Word. Well, it is, saints. It's wonderful what the Lord can just open up to our vision and just show us, this is my will, this is what I'm demanding, this is what I'll be more pleased with. You know, that's really the way the Lord deals. At first, He just makes us to know, now this is my will. If you want to be blessed, you just work hard and keep diligent and keep faithful in everyday life. Keep your heart open to the Lord. Be led by the Spirit. You know, it's as important for a congregation to lean on the Spirit's leadership as it is isolated saints, if we only knew it. If everyone in the week at home, in your prayer place, not only just your morning worship, sometime through the day, steal away in prayer and just tell the Lord to just open up something special and just pour down a special blessing in your soul. You know, you'll find that's one of the greatest means of spiritual growth that you can possibly make. And then when you get your soul just lifted up and elated in the blessings of the Lord in the Spirit, then the Word just becomes a living epistle to your life. Oh, it just looks so blessed and so wonderful as you read, and it just, there's so much marvelous truth that we haven't explored yet. And now it says here in Ephesians, the third chapter and the 14th verse says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, Paul was specially speaking of national barrier, that line of separation between the Jew and Gentile. But do you know the peace of God will break down every little feeling of discord, every little feeling of dissension? If people will just work for that perfect peace in their soul, it'll just make things closer together. You know, I know the saints are together, but I believe the Lord is pulling us closer together. He wants us so compact that when one speaks, that's just the way I see it. That's the way I would say it. You know, I believe that's the call of God to us as saints today, to live so close to God and under the blessing of the Lord, so rich that we're just one in the doctrine, we're one in spirit, and we're one in accord. And I said, for He is our peace. Now that means the Lord. That means God the Father and God the Son and His Holy Spirit. That peace needs to just flow from every one of our lives, from every one of our hearts, be the wellspring of every one of our lives. And He says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, when that partition is broken down, why then we're just all in the same room, ain't we? All in the same compartment. I've seen places where they were going to change the dwelling into a meeting house. We'd have it maybe before the petition was taken away. And when you'd talk to the congregation, a lot of them, there's clear back in another room. And you just couldn't feel like you're talking to the whole congregation to an extent, because you couldn't see them all when you looked around. But when that petition was out, then you just felt like all in one compact body. And you know, it means that way spiritual, dear ones. We don't want to have one thing separating us from our brethren. If there's something about me that just grates on you, you know, if I get close enough to the Lord, I believe the Lord will just smooth that out, that it won't be so hard to take me. And I believe that's the way it works with every one of us. If we'll just let that peace of God just fill our lives and fill our hearts. You know, peace is a wonderful thing, isn't it? To just be at peace with each other, and harmony with each other. Just know that what my brother does, I believe he's just doing it as unto the Lord. Maybe sometimes you have to pray a little to see through it. But you know, if you'll just pray, He'll show us exactly how to just be more one in heart.